He didn't go through a class. He didn't go through five ways to lead people to Jesus. He just went out and started preaching the gospel. Paul experienced transformation. He let everyone know what has happened. One day he becomes persecutor, he becomes preacher. If that's not change, I don't know what is. When did that transformation happen to you? The pastor I was raised in church, I don't really recall. You should. See, that's the sting of religion.
Hello everyone, this is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And throughout the Word of God, we see that God responds to faith. It's my hope that through this series your faith is encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 3 of A Transforming Faith.
2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Why? Because you're born again, you're transformed, you're changed. It happens when you come to faith in Christ. When did you become a new creature? When were the scales lifted from your eyes? I don't care if you're a person says, Pastor, I've walked the aisle, I've said the prayer, I was baptized in water, I joined the church. Nothing wrong with those things. Those are outcomes of our faith. But the question is this. Were you born again before those things happened? Or, because if not, they're just exterior religious expressions. When did the Holy Spirit come inside of you and make you a new person, a new creation? I didn't say perfect. I didn't say have it all together. But you know that you know when the Spirit of God comes inside of you and you are born again. There are people that have been raised on a pew that sit in churches that have not received new birth. It doesn't matter what denomination, by the way. Assemblies of God, Pentecostal, it don't matter. I will venture to say this. Pentecostal religious people are the worst, the nastiest. I've been going to this church for years. I don't care how long you've been attending the church, any church, it doesn't matter. The question is this, and the answer you, this is the question you've got to answer for Almighty God. Are you born again? Are you born again? Look what happened to Paul. He was blind, correct? But listen, after Ananias laid hands on him, prayed, he received the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in Acts 9:20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues and that he is the Son of God. He didn't go through a class. He didn't go through five ways to lead people to Jesus. He just went out and started preaching the gospel. Paul experienced transformation. He let everyone know what has happened. One day he becomes persecutor, he becomes preacher. If that's not change, I don't know what is. When did that transformation happen to you? Well, Pastor, I was raised in church. I don't really recall. You should. See, that's the sting of religion. I don't know when it was. I just knew that day when it happened. See, if you don't have a know in your knower, then there's something wrong. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But a new creation, a new creation. We have people in our community who have faith. It consists of beliefs, emotions, knowledge, practices, but it's void of intimacy, void of transformation. Listen, the proof is in the pudding. I know I said that a lot. But listen, when there's real intimacy with God and with the Holy Spirit, and He comes and takes up residence in your heart, there's a change. A change. Look, Galatians 1:23, Paul writes this. This is what he was testifying of what happened to him. He who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And look at this. And they didn't glorify him. They didn't glorify Paul for this. We glorify pastors and preachers too much, by the way. They glorified God in me. They glorified the God that dwelt in Paul. The change in Paul was noticeable, distinct, it was drastic. When did that occur for you? Now here's the next question I need to answer. A faith without transformation, is it really a faith at all? I believe it's just a walk in the park, in my opinion. It's just belief, and anybody can believe. Even Satan believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I know when we come to faith in Christ, we come to faith in Christ as a child, correct? Matthew 18:3, and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." We say we must have a Christ-like or a childlike faith, right? To receive Jesus as Savior. Because sometimes it just don't make sense when you're in life. You know, if you're an agnostic, if you're an atheist, coming to Christ seems childlike to you. But you must come with that childlike faith in order to be born again. You must. Now, here's the question. Is that childlike faith good enough to sustain you through maturity in Christ? I say no, it's not. It's not. You can't have just childlike faith. You understand what I mean? And that's why the faith that I had when I got saved, just good enough. No, it's not. It needs to grow. How many of you have been discouraged in your faith before? Have you ever come to a place where you didn't believe God could do something he said he could do? Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you this right now. There's been times I doubted God could heal. There's times I've doubted God could do certain things, even though he said he could. Now, if you don't deal with doubt, well, then you should just get up here and start preaching then, maybe. Because I've dealt with doubt many times. Doubt, fear, I wouldn't say unbelief, but definitely doubt. Here's what happens. Life happens, and it'll take the wind out of our sails, and it'll discourage us, and our faith suffers. The key is this, we can't allow our faith to suffer. We have to get back into the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, our faith is like a mustard seed. Jesus described that mustard seed as a tree, right? It's a seed that is planted, grows into a tree, it gives life, it throws out other seeds, it makes a place for the birds of the air to come and to nest and to live in. Our faith should be a growing faith. And if our faith is growing, it will be transforming. See, as our faith grows, so does the work of the Holy Spirit. They'll work in tandem with each other. Remember, faith is often example through obedience. Abraham believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness, but he went and did what God called him to do. Even though he didn't have a surety of it, he just took God at his word. When we take God at his word, when he says, listen, I need you to stop doing this so you can start doing this, or I need you to give this up because it's causing a hindrance in your walk with me, and you do it, that's called faith. That's called obedience. That's called trust. And then you have spiritual growth afterwards because you've trusted in the Lord. You've been obedient to him. Your faith allowed that access to the Holy Spirit to your life to mature you and to grow you. Born again, spirit-filled Christians. We can become stagnant in our faith if we're not careful. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed. Into the same image, meaning the image of Christ, from glory to glory. And that's accomplished by what? The Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. I know I refer to this verse quite often. I make no apologies for that. But I'm just telling you this, that when I'm a pastor, as a pastor, I look at fruit. I have to look at fruit. You understand? You look at fruit. So I'm just saying, you look for fruit. We all look for fruit. We look for evidence. We look for growth. We look for maturity. I do the same thing. So if I preach a lot of messages on this certain topic, then guess what? See, a lot of you come a long way, but there's still a long way to go. Don't get discouraged, by the way. Because listen, the blessings later are greater than the blessings we've experienced. You see, gradually over the last 100 years or so, we've painted a picture of faith in Christ that is not what the Bible says. We ask folks to come to church, say the sinner's prayer, believe this, say that, confess that, get dunked in water, become a church member, and once you've done all that, friend, you're in like Flynn. And we propagate this by saying this. Now, you're in a club, basically. You keep on believing in Jesus, and it's all good, it's all fine, it's all dandy. Just wait to death or wait till he returns. Oh, friend, listen, shame on people who sell the Christian life that short. Because God has not put all the potential in the world. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives, dwells in you. He didn't put that potential in for you just to hang out and wait for time to come by, that you came to the altar, said a prayer, and now we're just waiting. No, he's looking for growth. He's looking for potential growth. He's looking for you to mature, to grow. A faith that does not promote transformation is belief. And we are not saved by belief. We are saved by grace through? Are you a new creation? Are you being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit? It's not a matter of if you were changed. It's if you change and you continue to change. The more you grow, the more you live for Jesus, the more you should be like Him. I didn't say you're perfect. I didn't say you have it all together. But listen, from the day you gave your life to Christ to now, there should be change. There should be a continuum. Now, in that continuum, you may have these and that, right? But you should be going forward. You should be going upward. You should be growing. You should be maturing. Isn't it sad when adults act like children? Mary Magdalene, I'm closing. I'm on the fourth turn. I'm coming into home stretch now. Mary Magdalene had an encounter with Jesus. She was changed, church. She had seven demons cast out of her. She was not only freed and delivered from her bondage, she was changed and she stayed changed. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, had an encounter with Jesus. As a result, he repaid everyone from whom he stole from. He restored fourfold, four times the amount he stole. And then what was left, he gave half to the poor. Jesus said, salvation's come to this house. There was a change and a continued change. Nicodemus, here's the one we overlook. A Pharisee comes to Jesus. Jesus is the one that says, hey, you must be born again. Fast forward through the book of John. We see he is the guy that is there helping taking the body of Christ down, preparing his body for burial. Changed. Changed. The woman at the well, changed. The demon-possessed man of Gadara, changed. The thief on the cross, changed. Paul, changed. We can go throughout the Word of God, changed, changed, changed. But we'll find people who were changed that backslid and went back too. Which are you? Which are you? Paul writes this as a follower of Jesus. Philippians 3:8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, refuge, trash, that I may gain Christ. Paul looks back over his life. Paul looks back over his life. A learned man, an educated man, a man with a career, a man with a business, a man who had leadership abilities, leadership qualities. He had some type of authority. He comes to Christ and that all changes. You know, Paul lived a life of faith. Paul lived a very comfortable life before he came to Christ. No doubt about that. He was a Roman citizen too. Paul gives all that up and he says, then looking back, I'd still do it again. In fact, I count all that other stuff junk, trash. Put it out on the curb. It's no good. Church, why settle for less than God's best in your life? Listen, don't just come to the altar, receive Christ, and say, that's it. No, it's not. Now you live a life of faith. And God will transform you. You'll grow. If you ever come to a place in your walk with God and say, this is as good as it's going to be, then you, listen, I said this a couple weeks ago. Get a shovel, dig a hole, and just lay in it then. And just wait. As long as you have breath in your body, you have potential in your life. God's got a call and a purpose on your life. Fulfill it. Amen? Fulfill it. Do everything you can do within you to fulfill it. Our flesh wants a faith that saves us, but our flesh is not comfortable with a faith that transforms us.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you were blessed by this message and your faith encouraged. Be confident in the Lord Jesus, confident in His love, His mercy, and His ability to do what He says He can do. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. or you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.